We've been working in the book of James here for a couple Sundays, and very important, the things we need to get ready. And I've been trying to prepare and preach and teach on things that will help us in the new year as we walk with Christ. And a lot of times people think, well, if they're especially they're a visitor, they think, oh, there must be this going on, that going on in the church. No, I'm just addressing things that need to be addressed, that need to come out of the Word of God. And so I don't think that there's issues in our church. We have a great church. God's moving in a mighty way and touching lives. But these are things in the church from the Word that needs to be dealt with and to help us grow as stronger Christians and be a more productive church. Amen. So we're going to cover these things. So look with me in the second chapter of James. Going to pray, and then we'll read here in verse 1. Father, we thank you today for your precious word. God, pray that you would anoint this preacher, hide me behind your cross. Lord, I pray that your word go forth, find ears to hear and hearts to receive. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect for him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme thy worthy name, by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons to commit sin and are convinced in the law of transgressors, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it in one point, he is guilty of it all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, and also not kill, now if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as thou that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and yet have no works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, but doeth it profit. Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I could go on here and probably should, but for time's sake, I'm going to stop here, and we're going to just cover quickly, if I could, a few basic things here that I think is important. First of all, talking about how we treat each other. If you treat somebody different because you think they have money, then the Bible is saying that there's something wrong with your Christian. Amen? As a Christian, there's something wrong with you. If I look to a man and put him in a good seat because he's got a nice clothes on and a ring, now it says gay clothing, and I know that wouldn't set too well today. It's a little bit different language than what we would use, but you don't particularly go around looking at people and try to judge and say, well, I only want to be friends, or I only want to treat those who we think have money or substance and neglect the poor. Now, oftentimes what happens in the church world is that people do this, and people have been offended and hurt in churches by being overlooked because they may not have the money or stuff. Now, I know that there's a lot of people back home that have money, but if you met them or they walked in your church, you'd never know they had a dime. They don't live that style. They don't dress that way. You would never know they had any money. And what would happen if you treated that person differently because they didn't have money, it's going to affect you. I remember years ago, my mom and my stepdad had just sold some property, and they had decided they were going to town to buy a Cadillac. And they drove down to Fort Walton Beach, and they were going to buy that Cadillac and pay cash for it. And they were also going to buy another car just to have the boodle around in and pay cash for it. And I remember they told me, they said, you wouldn't believe, because they just got through working and they just went as they were, they didn't dress up, went down there, and he said, we couldn't get a car salesman to treat us or even have anything to do with it because they thought we didn't have no money. And so there we were with cash pocket money enough to buy a brand new Cadillac and a used car. And said, so the man, they were so rude, we went down the road and we bought a new Cadillac, paid cash for it, and then bought a used car from the same man and paid cash for it. Said, you couldn't believe how excited that guy was that day and how happy that car lot was. Said, my stepdad, my mom told me, said, he said, we're going to ride back by that car lot and we're going to go back in there and I won't drive. You drive that Cadillac, and I'm going to drive this old used car, and we're going to pull up there, and I'm going to roll down the window and get that old boy to come out, and I'm going to tell him, see what I bought? And he said, then I want you to honk the horn, and I'm telling him, and see what else we bought? And she's driving that brand new Cadillac. Well, you know, he ended up not getting the sale because he looked at the outer appearance. Today, we cannot judge men by what we may think they have. We have to judge each man as a Christian by the heart. Amen? It's not about, and I say this, you know, so important in church that we never get blinded by color. We never get blinded by riches. We have to love every man, woman, and child because they have a heart and they are important in the eyes of God. Amen? Unfortunately, not everybody's rich. Shouldn't get a big amen. Unfortunately, shouldn't say that way, but most folks are not rich, and those that are rich sometimes want special treatment. But I can tell you at Victory and Praise, we don't treat rich or poor any different. Amen? We will not treat you in a better way because you have money. And, you know, over the years at this church, we've lost people because of that. They wanted me to make a big hoodoo over them because they gave a big offering. I don't do that. I don't do it because, first of all, you didn't give it to me. You gave it to God. And if you're giving it to get me to look on you in a special way, you're giving it for the wrong reasons. Amen? I can't let that adjust me to how I look at you. And we've had people who don't have anything to give and some of them who just won't give. Come on now, some that just won't give. They won't give, but they always take. I heard a lady this week, and I couldn't help. I thought, well, you know what? That's pretty good what she said. She said, you know, she said, some people are givers, some are takers. She says, but we're supposed to be servants. She said, what happens is, he said, what people do, they act like it's a refrigerator. And said, they go and they open the door. They only go to the refrigerator when they need something out of it. Come on. And they open the door and get something out, and then when they get what they want, they shut the door and leave. And so that's what most people are. They're takers. They only need somebody when they need something from them. Only going to be your friend when they need something from you. Only going to call you when they need something from you. Only going to talk to you and be nice when they need something from you. But if they don't need anything, guess what? They ain't doing nothing. Because all they do, they only see the necessity. And I know as a preacher, one of my ministries over the year have been to be friends to young preachers, because I know as a young preacher, most preachers won't have nothing to do with you. Now, when I first started out, I was single, and a guy asked me, said, what's it like to be a minister in the Assemblies of God and be single? I said, about like having leprosy. I said, they're not sure what to do with you. And they don't really know if they want to be around you or not. But I can assure you today that ministry has helped me to encourage young preachers and call them and encourage them even when nobody else cares whether they're still in the ministry or not. Because I know how that feels. I know how it feels to not even think anybody cares whether you are in a minister or preaching the gospel. But I can tell you today, church, as an encourager, you need to quit being given just a getter and a taker, and you need to become a server. In other words, you need to think about other people. You need to think about what you can do to help other people. And oftentimes, it's always people looking to the church to do all the helping. Oh, well, the church should do this. Why don't you do it? Come on, I'll get down here right in front of you. I ain't scared. Why don't you do it? Well, why don't the church help so-and-so? They need this help. Why don't you help them? Well, that's not my job. Oh, are you a Christian? Then it is your job. If God lays it on your heart, quit trying to blame the church for not doing it. Why don't you do it? You know, the church does an awful lot to help, but the church just pays the bills. I can promise you that. We don't have an account. People call me and say, we need help with our light bill. Let me tell you something. If we have it, we have it. If we don't, we don't. We don't have a big budget. We don't have money laying around the bank. We go from week to week. Amen. We pray light bills in. Come on. We pray miracles to take place because some people tithe, some people don't tithe. Some people give, some people don't give. Some people who can give won't give because they're afraid the preacher might get a steak. Come on. Oh, he might get a steak, and I'm over here eating pork and beans. I ain't giving nothing. Praise God. That preacher, he's driving a nice car, and he's got nice stuff. Well, brother, you ain't giving for that reason. Amen. You ought to be glad. I can honestly say as a minister for the last 20 years, I've never one time had anybody in my congregation that I got mad because they got a new car. I never got mad with anybody in my congregation because they got a new dress or a new suit. I never got mad because they got a promotion or was able to have nice things. They went on nice vacation. Never got mad at them. But you know, there's been a lot of people over the years got mad because I got a new suit. Mad because my family got a car. Oh, my goodness. I remember we had a church. We had an old car thing, barely go. We didn't know if it crank or not. We finally decided we just going to have to bite the bullet and get us something else. We bought a used van. You'd have thought we went out and bought a Mercedes. The church was in mourning for weeks. They couldn't get over it, the preacher. But I thought, yeah, but you don't mind me driving an hour to the hospital to see you. I guess next thing you'll have me riding a mule up there and getting complained because I ain't there quick enough. Come on. Say, well, old Betsy wouldn't go. She decided to sit down, sir. Oh, well, we worry about foolish things. And then I'm just going to be honest with you. There's times that the church helps people and do things for people that nobody knows about. I can promise you this church has went above and beyond to help people when nobody knew anything about it. But we never said anything. But yet we were accused by people of not caring or helping. I just recently caught wind of somebody saying something about we wouldn't help them, and so they left the church because pastor wouldn't help them. That same person didn't care to fill in all the times we had helped, all the groceries we took them, all the times we had done things to help them, and I can tell you what, we never looked at their tithing and considered, well, they don't give enough that we're going to help. We yay, but then as soon as they get mad about something, the excuse is the church didn't do this, the preacher didn't do this. And what's sadder than that is that people will listen to it, and people will begin to say, you know what, I don't know if I can support Victory and Praise. I don't know if I can support Brother Ron. You know, I seen him, he got a new tie, and I saw he went on vacation, and that poor soul ain't got this and that, and you sitting there with a bank full of money. Oh, boy, I know ain't nobody coming back next week, are you? I'm going to have a live stream. I'll have to live stream for anybody to watch. Be nobody but me and the mice here next time. Hey, the reason is because we're not doing our duty as a child of God. We need to say when a bad report comes and somebody's saying something negative, say, you know what? I better hold on because I don't know the whole story. Come on. Don't you judge, because you know what? Hell always wants to get you out of church, and he's always wanting to get you to doubt the man of God. He's always wanting you to doubt the move of God, and that way he can keep it from happening. But church, when we finally say enough's enough, I'm not going to listen to a bad report. You got something bad to say? Say it to me in front of the preacher. Come on. Woo! Say it to me in front of the say it to me in front of that person in the church you accused of that. Say it in front of that. I know years ago, a preacher was griping because he had been accused of adultery with a lady in the church. She accused him, and he went to a well-known prominent pastor in the community. And he said, I want you to help me in this situation, to give me some advice on what to do. He said, you really want me to tell you what to do? He said, yes. He said, what I'd do, next church service, I'd have her come on the platform and I'd have her to tell everybody in that congregation what she's accusing you of. And said, you stand right there. And you know what happened? The preacher never did it. Never did it. Now, let me say this to you. That was an odd situation, wasn't it? But what it was, he was saying, if you're not guilty and you're confronted, come on. You see, a lot of times, we're willing to hear a bad report, but we're not willing to confront the bad report. Now, see, all this is not, you say, Brother Ron, boy, you got all kinds of trouble with visitors, that we got all kinds of trouble with Victor. No, this is what the Scripture is talking about. I'm covering what the Scripture is talking about. I'm dealing with us because I want us to be a strong church, amen? I don't want you every time somebody gets disgruntled, you leave the church or go find another church, because you know what? As soon as you land in another church, they're going to somebody be disgruntled there too. People get disgruntled everywhere. It's easy to fuss, but it's hard to be positive. Come on, it's easy to disgruntle and say, well, I don't like this. And it's harder to sit and say, you know what? I believe God will shake this thing out. Hallelujah. You know, when they came and brought the men of God before the council, one of them said at one point, he said, if it's of God, it'll stand. If it's not, don't worry about it because it won't last. I'm going to tell you, Victor and Praise has been going for 10 years, going on 11 years, and there was people who said you can't go start a church, but we did. Hallelujah. There's folks that said you're never going to make it, but we have. Hallelujah. And that's because our desire is to do the work of God and to reach the lost and to do what the Bible says. Look at no man any different, but love every man. We've loved everybody, white, black, yellow. And I'm telling you what, if they were purple, we'd love them. Come on. We don't go by color. We don't care how rich you are, how poor you are. We love you because you are a child of God and God loves you. God cares about you and he wants to help you and he wants to minister to you. But the enemy will always try to get you to not believe in the work of God. Come on. Brother Ron, how do you know that? Because I've been pastoring for 20 years. I've seen it. I know what the devil does. See, the devil's never had to come up with new tricks because he's always just used the same old tricks. He don't have to come up with new stuff because it's so easy to move so-called people who love God. Because you know what? A lot of times people who say they love God, they love him because they're scared of hell. They're scared not to serve. But yet, the truth is, they're looking for any excuse in the world to quit serving him. Woo! Now, that may not hit nobody here, but I can tell you it hits a lot of the church world. There's a lot of folks who really don't want to serve God, and they're looking for any excuse. Well, that preacher done this. I give up on God. That preacher wasn't God. Yeah, but he was a preacher. So what? He's still a man. Hey, let me say women preachers too. Amen. Ooh, let's get them involved. We always say he. Well, what about that person in the church who did this or that? Those hypocrites. Let me tell you, those hypocrites are always going to be in the church. My first church, I'm telling you, I was a young
preacher. I mean, I just wanted the church to be holy. I wanted the move of God. We got to get rid of all the sinners. Brother, hey, I'm telling you the truth. I got to get rid of all these sinners out of the church. I was preaching one Sunday. I said, there's witches. I said, let me tell you, there's warlocks. I said, I want to ask you today, are you a witch? My mama was in the service. She said, a lady right beside her looked at her and said, are you a good witch or a bad witch? Hey, I'm so busy trying to make the church so holy and pure. I want to get rid of all the hypocrites. I want everybody to be perfect. And you know what? Finally, God had to show me you ain't never going to have the perfect church. You ain't never going to get rid of the hypocrites. But the Bible says in that final day, he will separate the tares and the wheat. You just preach this gospel. You love them even if they're the worst tare there. You love them and you let them know that Christ loves them. And brother, then it'll be on them when they stand before God. It's your job to love that guy sitting beside you in the church. It's your job to love that across from the church. It's your job, my job as a church, to love one another. But most of all, no matter how big of a hypocrite you may think they are, love them, pray for them, believe God to save them and deliver them and set them free, brother. Lift them up to God. Hallelujah. Greatest revival I almost ever had. I was driving a log truck, got out of Bible college. I was taking whatever job I could so I could preach on the weekends. This company, this man, they didn't normally work on Saturday or Sunday. So I took a job driving that log truck. And I'd drive that thing. I mean, during the week, I'd preach. I'm telling you, that log truck was probably the most Holy Ghost-filled log truck in South Alabama and Northwest Florida. May I preach some of the most powerful anointed messages ever not heard riding down that road. Oh, I'd preach. I'd have a time just having. Well, one morning I had somebody who had done me dirty, done my family dirty. I really had a hard time with them, and I almost got bitter. Well, you know, the Word of God talks about that when we hate our brother, I was reading this morning, we hate our brother, we actually hate God. That we can't hate our brother, we have to love him. And so what will happen if you let hate come in and you begin to hate somebody, what's going to happen is you're going to quit loving God. I'm in there, I'm like, Lord, I can't, and Lord laid on my heart, get up every morning an extra hour and pray for him. I'm going to tell you what, I was already getting up at 4:00 in the morning. Now I got to get up at 3:00 and pray for a man I can't stand. That first morning was difficult. I got up, my spit and sputtered and tried to do everything except say God set him on fire. Come on. It was tough. The next morning, it's a little bit easier. Let me tell you, by the next week on Monday morning, I was having revival in there praying for that. God save him. I couldn't wait for God to do something in his life. It turns the whole situation around when you don't let the devil put you in the norm, but you let God do a miracle in your life. Quit praying against them. Start praying for them. Hallelujah. Stop working against them and work for them. Do something to help them so that God can move in their life. That miracle will take place only when you're willing to say, you know what, God? It's more important that someone be saved than anything else. Somebody asked me, said, Brother Ron, have you ever run anybody away out of victory and praise? Told them to leave. I said, not yet. I said, because I figure that if God sent them, then it's my job to preach that word to them and love them. Come on. And I was reminded by God as a young minister trying to find my way. And you've heard me tell these two stories, but I've got to say this so it adds fills in here. As a young minister, I was trying to find what God wanted for me. I went to a minister's conference, and I got up there to get prayed for. They prayed for everybody but me. I stand at the end of that row, I have my hands right there. They got, you know, got loud as they got to me. I said, "Ooh, here we go." If it, man, next thing I know, I heard the voices going away. I think I'm a Pentecostal one-eye wink. I seen them leaving. I said, "Well, what's this about?" I stood there, I got aggravated. I said, "Man, that's some rotten stuff, and that ain't right, God. What's?" And God said, "Look to no man. Look to no man." I left there, echoing in my ears. I told Stacy, Sherry was actually their business. We living out there. Came and she said, I told her, I said, "God said, look to no man." I said, "He said it so hard, so thunder, it's ringing in my ears. I can't get it out. I can't get it away from it." And all these years, I still have it just as fresh as he said it to me that day. And then one time, me and Stacy's broke down on the side of the road up in Texas. In East Texas, there's nobody coming. It's on a hill and a curve late at night, cold and dark. We got Lindsay's just been born. Got her in there. And Kirsten was staying with her aunt. And we broke down and I said, "God," I had the hood up. And I said, "God," I said, "I need a miracle." I drove trucks. I knew no truck was going to stop in that curve on that hill late at night. It was a pass-through area for trucks, a cutoff. And I shut that hood, and I heard God say, "I got others." I said, "God, this ain't what I want to hear right now. You got others." You know, come on, church. Me and the Lord have a relationship. He tells me something like that, I say something back. Not out of disrespect, but I didn't understand. What, you got others? But then just a moment, a semi come around the curve, and the truck stopped. He said, "Come on." I got Stacy and Lindsay, and we went up there, and I held the baby so Stacy get in. And when she looked down at me, she was smiling from ear to ear. And I handed Lindsay to her, and I got in the truck, and then I seen why. On the big old, it was a dog box in the middle, they call it, in semis. And on there was sitting a big old family Bible. I'm not talking about a little Dollar General deal. I'm talking about the biggest Bible you could find. It was sitting on that dog box. And then on the radio, he had Christian music playing. And then it hit me what God had just said. "I got others." Hallelujah. And I said, "Oh, praise be to God. God's got others." Now, there's two things you got to know. Don't look to no man, because God's always the source. And I got others. So as a preacher, I've had to learn that when God uses somebody to bless the ministry, I don't look to that person. I look to God because I know that's one of God's others. Woo! Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And then to think that that other is obedient to God gives you a reason to be excited. A reason to say thanks be to God. But on that also, I've learned another thing. Look to no man, not only when they're good, but when they're bad. When they're mean, downright sorry, mean to you, hurtful. You know what you do? You turn the other cheek and say, "Praise be to God. I'm not looking to him, I'm looking to Christ." "Well, that man was mean to me at the church. I'm not going to church." Don't look to him, look to God. "Well, the preacher was mean to me." Don't look to the preacher, look to God. Don't let nobody separate you from Christ. Amen? Don't let a hypocrite in the church separate you from Christ. Don't let somebody who fails separate you from Christ. Somebody who hurts you. Don't let anybody separate you from Jesus, because Jesus is the one who died on that cross. Christ is the one who died to give you life. Christ is the one that died to give you abundant life through his son Jesus. Jesus' blood is the reason I'm saved in that mercy. Now, also, he's got others. Who? Not only God. Oh, this is going to be a shock to you. The devil. The devil's got others. And you know what? He uses them. And if he knows you're down and you tell your friend or neighbor or wife or husband, say, I'm so aggravated. I'm just about at the point to give up. So-and-so didn't shake my hand today. That devil says, ring, ring, ring. That other, he's got answers. Hello? I want you to go over and tell Myrtle. Nobody likes her. You just let the devil know what's going on. Come on. You know, the reason on the football field you huddle up is so you can tell the plays to your players, not the other team. Come on. You don't go up on the line and go, 32 dive, 32 dive. You get in the huddle and go, 32 dive. Come on. So if you're going around letting the devil know everything that aggravates you, guess what? He's going to give you a whole heap of it. Come on. And he's got plenty of folks. I tell you, I've had folks when God told me to come start this church, I said, I can't tell everybody. I kept it underneath my breath. But then I started, when it became time to do it, I said, I'm going to tell. I have to tell folks. So I began to tell. Oh, people said, you can't do that. Brother Ron, you're not from Houston. You're from Florida and Alabama. You should start a church here. Don't go start a church somewhere like Houston. You don't know nobody in Houston. You've never pastored in Houston? I said, I know, but God said, go. Brother Ron, you can't do it. I said, I know I can't, but he can. I know he can't, but he can. Oh, hey, even the devil got a hold of my mom and my sister. Son, you can't go out there. You're going to hurt your family. You got a family to think about. You can't do that. Hey, all I knew was I heard from God, and I said, I'm going no matter what. You can't talk me out of it. You got a good church that loves you. You got a nice three-bedroom brick home. You got everything. You can swing out. I mean, everything. The church loves you. Why are you going to leave? Because God said go. I remember when we first started church, had two men conspire. They couldn't stand each other. Could not stand each other. Would walk to the other side of church with each other. And like, all of a sudden, I seen them in the parking lot being best buddies. I told Stacy, I said, look out. She said, what? I said, we got trouble. Why? I said, they're talking. I said, they're buddying up. I said, you know what happens? They don't like each other, but now they got a common enemy, and you know who he is. I said, they both conspired that they don't like me no more. Well, I couldn't tell people why. I couldn't tell folks that the reason why was because both of them wanted to be deacons in the church, but neither one of them was fit to be a deacon. Neither of the one lived God enough to be a deacon. And so when they came to me and said, we want to be, we stand outside our little yellow building, as a matter of fact, and one of them said to me, said, he brought some friends with him. He said, well, this is Pastor Mitchell, and this is one of our deacons. And I looked at him. I said, excuse me? He said, this is one of our deacons. Well, I consider him a deacon. Come to find out, he considered himself a deacon too. I told him, I said, you're not deacons in this church. You're not a deacon till I hear from God and I tell you you're a deacon. You don't self-appoint yourself here. Come on. Come on. Oh, they got mad, left the church. Folks said, well, man, they left. There's problems brewing. No, the problem was not with me. It was with them. Don't try to put yourself and promote yourself to be something you're not. Come on. Well, I don't believe that we should have football. Did you start this church? Did you hear God say start this church? Did you fight hell to start this church? Did you do without? Did you hunger? Did you thirst? Did you have people talk about you and threaten you? Did you not know whether you'd have diapers on your babies? Then if you didn't, then you better back up and let God say what's going to be done. Amen? I don't like that live stream. I don't like those cameras. I don't remember asking for a vote on it. but we should vote on these things. Hey, see out that driveway? You turn left, you turn right. There's about 500 churches, and they vote on the color of carpet. They vote on whether to buy light bulbs. We ain't voting on something to reach the gospel around the world. Come on. Why don't you vote, Brother Ron? Because we got a commission. And I know the devil will have some others who will say, we don't need that. I know we don't. The devil don't need another preacher on the air preaching the gospel around the world. No, sir. He don't need Ron Mitchell preaching Christ Jesus crucified around the world. No, he don't need that. But Christ does. Hallelujah. You see, I had a young preacher one time. He told me, he said, Brother Ron, I don't take any CDs with me. I said, why not? He said, well, Brother so-and-so, he discourages from promoting yourself. I said, Brother, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever been to one of his meetings? Yes. I said, have you ever looked in the foyer of the church he's preaching at? Yes. I said, have you ever noticed all the CDs of him in that foyer? Well, yeah, but, you know, he's Brother so-and-so. I said, so you're going to tell God, I'm not important enough. What I preach is not good enough to help anybody. I said, you are doing a disservice to the call on your life. If you're called of Jesus Christ and God's using you to minister to somebody, you never belittle the calling on your life. You never let anybody do that. And I can tell you, I don't have to have somebody tell me, well, Brother Ron, you're so country. I know I'm country. Hell tells me that every day. See, you're so country and sound like an old redneck, nobody wants to hear you. You can't even halfway pronounce stuff. But I can tell you what, because I said, you know what, it ain't about me, it's about Jesus. Hey, they can make fun the way I talk, but along the way, somebody gets saved, it's worth every bit of it. Hallelujah. I don't say this to be an aggravate, but I'm just saying, but if I had quit years ago because I don't sound like a Harvard graduate, do you think I would have got to preach around the world on Jimmy Swaggart Ministries just last summer? You know what Brother Jimmy never said? Brother Ron, you're too hick. We want more dignified, sophisticated men. Oh, my God. I was listening to him this morning. And Brother Woozy, Jim Woozy, got a PhD, I think, from something. He's got a master's or something. I mean, he's got all kind of education. And he's from Arizona. He said, you know, God could even use a backward little boy from the sticks like me. I thought, I'd give anything to talk like you, Brother Woozy. You don't sound like no hick to me. I'd love to be able to talk and be eloquent like that. Man, I remember we first started this church, a man come up and told me, he said, you know, when you say that word, that ain't the right way to say it. I said, well, how do you say it? And he said it, and I tried to say it. Well, he said it. I said, I can't say it that way. So I'm just going to say it the way I say it. Amen. You just got to let God use you, amen? The problem is God probably had somebody more sophisticated, somebody who talked better, but he decided to be a lawyer. Come on. But I was too dumb. I decided I'd just be a preacher. Come on, I'd go ahead and do what God called me to do, and I would just go ahead and preach his gospel. And but my point is, church, people can look and say, well, I'm not going to Brother Ron's church because he's not sophisticated enough. I want a preacher who's more elegant. Hey, once in a while the Holy Ghost hits me, I say some pretty snazzy stuff. Sometimes I amaze myself. I've actually listened to a CD of me before and said, is that me? I used words I didn't know I knew how to say. How's that? In the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I can tell you something, church. Hell's fighting all of us. He would tell me, you're not sophisticated enough. You're not this, that. God will tell you, you're not this, you're not that. We as a church have to understand, as a child of God, I am a child of God, and God can use me. God can do whatever he wants. God is going to use Victory and Praise no matter what hell tries to say or do. There's people won't come here because they think we're affiliated with Jimmy Swaggart. I ain't going to that church. That's a Jimmy Swaggart church. This is not a Jimmy Swaggart church. This is a Jesus preaching church. Amen. We love Brother Swaggart. We love it, but I'm not here to promote Donnie Swaggart. I'm not here to promote Gabe Swaggart. I'm not here to promote anybody except Jesus. Amen. And if they can help promote Jesus, then praise be to God. We have them, but it's not because we're trying to promote a person or a ministry. We have a ministry here. This is a ministry. And God uses us to do things to reach a world. And we have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to let hell stop me, because I know if the devil can, he's going to tell me and try to turn me against Brother Ron. And I can tell you right now, I know when people get mad, they say ugly things. I've been a preacher 20 years. I've had things said that were not true about me. And I've heard them, and I say, who are they talking about? You? I said, me? Yeah, they said you did that. I remember one time I left the church and went back years later to preach, and said that this couple said, I can't believe they're having him back to preach. And I said, why? They said, well, they said you had done this or that. And I said, that's the first I've ever heard of it. I said, I didn't do no such a thing. But the devil will sure tell you all kind of stuff, won't he? He'll get you somebody who does care about you. The devil will try to turn. Hey, I'll be honest, I'm not the best about calling everybody. That ain't my bag of tea, but I don't want that for our church, because if we baby each other so much, what happens is it's all about getting babied, and then you can't ever do anything. You know, it's not about, my preacher never came to me and I broke my arm. He never came to the hospital with me, but I didn't quit church over it. I realized that Jesus was still there. My preacher loved me. He just didn't have time to get down there and sit with me while they put a cast on my arm. Come on. I ain't a one of you in here I don't love. I can promise you this, and there's not a person that's ever left this church that I don't love. And the good news is there's people ain't even got here yet, and I love them. You see, because I know what God's going to do. But I also know what the devil will do. He will try to drive everybody out he can and try to shut this church down, because this is a real church. Well, you don't have the this and that. No, we don't, but it's a real church. Why is it a real church? Because we preach the Bible. We preach Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. We preach the blood of Jesus Christ, and we stand on the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Ron, you know, I would go to the church if you had this and that. That's why God raises up people. If we don't have it, maybe it's because you ain't been yielding to God. Amen? Well, Brother Ron, we don't have enough tongues and interpretations. Maybe those who have the gift ain't using their gift. Come on. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. That's somebody say, well, if they give a tongues, Brother Mitchum, you didn't give the interpretation. You should have gave the interpretation. I said, I ain't putting God words in God's mouth. Come on. If God speaks to me, I'll give the interpretation. He uses me with tongues and interpretations. I do both. God's used me in both ways. I'm not afraid to do it, but I ain't going to say it if God ain't saying it. Come on. Just because it make you feel like you're in a Pentecostal church. Oh, I better get back here quick. Brother Ron, you mean, yeah, I'm telling you what, some folks think they ain't not in a Pentecostal church if people ain't jumping around, if folks ain't falling out. That ain't nothing to do with Pentecost. Well, I believe this real church, we just be jumping every Sunday. A real church sometimes falls on their face and cries and prays before God, and some Sundays they jump. But a real move of God isn't orchestrated by man. It's orchestrated by the moving of the Holy Spirit. Well, your church is dead. This church ain't dead. I feel God every Sunday. I don't feel nothing. Maybe because you're dead. you're dead and don't know it. I know this is a horrible allergy, and this is a movie years ago. I don't know. I hope I don't get myself in trouble by saying this. But there was a movie come out back in the 80s, I believe, back when I was a teenager. And they went to their boss's house, and the boss died. And they didn't want to leave up there having the party and being involved in all the going on, so they just dressed him up and drug him around. He was dead. Maybe you're dead, and they're just dragging you around, setting you down. You're sitting in church. You're already dead. You already expired. Come on. Well, I went to so-and-so church, and I felt the move of God. You got pumped up and moved because somebody jumped up. You better know the move of God is real, and when the move of God is moving, he moves, but you don't generate the real move of God. Man, I'm closing. Many folks asked me about Brownsville. Years ago, I lived in Florida at the time, pastoring when they first started the Brownsville Revival. Been going on about a year. I didn't know anything about it. Somebody asked me, said, a preacher called me and said, hey, me and my wife and another preacher going to the Brownsville Revival. Would you like to go with us? I said, well, what's the Brownsville Revival? They said, well, it's been going on for a year. I said, I ain't heard anything about that. Yeah, it's over in Pensacola. Come on, go with us. So I drove over with them. We lived about an hour or so away from there. Went over to Brownsville Revival. That night, I'm going to give you a report that I have, because all I can report is what I saw. I saw nothing that night that was any different than any Pentecostal service I'd ever been. Matter of fact, it didn't even rank as one of the better services I'd ever been in. It was a mediocre service. But the preacher did a good job. He preached a salvation message, and people came to the altar and got saved at the end of the service. That's all I knew about the Brownsville Revival. Then I began to hear they were doing all kinds of stuff. People was getting pretty wild. And I got something in the mail one day, and it said, Brownsville Revival invites you to come as a minister for $325. Spend the week and learn how to take back the move of God to your church. I said, you can write Ichabod on that thing, because you don't sell the move of God. Come on. You can't put a price tag on the move of God. Before long, that thing fell and went down. And let me say this to you. You cannot do that. You can't say, well, it has to be just this way or it ain't God. When I was a boy, I thought it had to be hot jumping. I was a preacher. I said, man, my services, when I get to be a preacher, everybody's going to be jumping. We're going to have a time, music going. Woo, I had it planned out. And then when I got to preaching, I found out that that ain't how you have a real move of God. You can orchestrate a lot. Come on. I never been to a rock concert when I was a heathen at a country concert. Come on, they didn't all swing, jump, and light their lighters. Some of you know what I'm talking about, you old heathens. Come on. I went to Hank Williams Jr. concert, and I was a boy. I went to the bathroom. That's the first time I realized that older men did pills and stuff. They was in there drinking, popping pills. I remember left, I went and told my buddy, I said, them old men's in there popping pills. He found that odd that I thought that was odd. I just thought of them as daddies. I didn't think they popped pills and did that kind of stuff, smoke pot. Come on. Thought that was odd. Well, we get in church and we want to be generated and pumped. You know where you get pumped? Is at your house praying. You know where you get pumped? Reading this Bible. You know where you get pumped? It's when you're here at church and you don't feel like raising your hands because you've got 1,000 things going through your head of troubles and chaos, but you say, you know what? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm going to give him praise today no matter how I feel. My back's hurting, my feet hurt, but I'm going to give him praise. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I could have stayed home laid on the sofa, but I'm here at the house of God. I might as well just go ahead and praise him. Amen. I just want to be alive in Jesus and get a hold of him. Hallelujah. He'll give you life. It's about who we are. how we handle things. James is saying, as a child of God, God has entrusted with me that my faith, said a lot about this, but my faith is not about just my works, because we know as a true child of God, I don't do good works to be saved. I do good works because I am saved. It's a byproduct of being a child of God that what happens is, as a child of God, I begin to do things for people because I love God. I love God. I love the Word of God. I love the ministry of God. And even when somebody's mean to you, you love them anyway. You pray for them anyway. And even when you get a bad report, you say, you know what? I don't know what the truth is on that, but I do know what. I can see that there's a heart for God. And I said, we were talking about this earlier, that, and I promise I'm closing. I can see some of you getting ready to throw stuff at me. But how many of you give 5 more minutes? Give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. Oh, my goodness. 30 minutes. We're talking about how the Pentecostals went so far that they are so sometimes so legalistic in their thinking that if you do anything, you're going to miss the rapture. If you do anything, you're going to miss God. I know, because I was that way at one time. Somebody was talking to me about somebody and said, you know, what do you think? Would he have went to rapture? I asked them, I said, do you think he'd have went to rapture if it happened? He said, absolutely. The man loves God. I said, I'm going to tell you, my religious, I bowed up. I just don't see that, brother. I don't see how that man can go to heaven. He said, brother, you got to understand grace. I said, I don't understand. You know what? Years later, God finally taught me. There's grace. Amen? There's grace. And then you got the Baptists who take it to the extreme. Come on now. My goodness, you can live like the pure devil and go to heaven, because when you were 3 years old, you went to a VBS Bible school. Come on. But Brother Ron, where is it? You got to come to the middle of that. There's grace, but there's also understanding you have to be saved. Amen? You got to be saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, because thank God of mercy and grace, because none of us are perfect. Well, I don't drink no more, Brother Ron. I don't do drugs no more. I don't do this and that. But you still have bad thoughts about somebody. You still let your tongue say stuff you shouldn't say. Woo! Good thing we done took up the offering, ain't it? Grace. Grace and mercy. I'm not justified by myself. I'm justified through Jesus Christ. I'm not sanctified through myself. I'm sanctified through Jesus Christ. I'm saved because of Him. My faith's in Him. I know because of the sin taintedness, I could never be perfect, but He is perfect. And thank God, when God sees me, He sees Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm saved today because of that. Amen. Let's stand together. I won't take you up on that last 20 minutes. We do love you this morning. We appreciate you. I went a little long, but I do believe in 2015, we need to be focused on trying to be the greatest child of God that we can be. And that means being faithful to God. I'm not asking you to be faithful to me or to your neighbor. I'm asking you to be faithful to God. But when you're faithful to God, guess what? You're going to have compassion for people. And God sometimes going to use you to help somebody. Help them. Sometimes God's going to use you to bless somebody. Bless them. And sometimes the devil's going to be on your shoulder and say, you know what, you should just give up on Jesus. But you know what, you should stop and realize, has Jesus ever give up on you? And you should say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Because I'm going to put my faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not looking to the preacher. I'm not looking to a church. I'm not looking to religion. I'm not looking to man. I'm not looking to neighbors. I'm not looking to family. I'm looking to Jesus. And no matter what nobody thinks, when I stand before God, I'm going to have a clear conscience. Well, they said that about me, and it ain't true. So what? God knows. Like I said, I've had a lot of things said about me that ain't true. I'd probably be shocked if I knew everything said about me in this community. But that's just the devil trying to use things. I know what I am. I know I'm a man that cares for people and loves people. I know I'm a man that loves the Word of God, and I love the call of God. I've sacrificed not because I wanted to get something from God, but because I want to be a vessel for the Lord and to give back to Him. I don't want to just go to God when I need something. I want to go to God all the time and give Him praise and glory. I want to be a vessel God can use. I think in 2015 that should be our prayer as a church. Would you join me this morning? You say, Brother Ron, I want God to use me. I want to be strong. I don't want to be moved around, tossed by the waves. I want to be strong. And I want to stand strong. I want to be faithful. And I want God to use me in a mighty way. Would you slip that hand to heaven and say, Lord, here I am. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, to move in my life and touch me and use me. Give me strength, Lord. When people come against me, give me strength to stand strong. God, when the enemy tries to crush me, let me stand and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, when the enemy tries to discourage me, let me say, my God is going to make a way. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, give me strength to not let people stop me. Don't let things stop me. Don't let worry stop me. Don't let chaos stop me. But let me do the work of God. Because I love Him, and I want to be a vessel used. Hallelujah. Can we just sing that, I surrender all, brother? I'm sorry, change that on you. Can we just sing that in closing today? Hallelujah.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Thee I give.
On,
I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Let's pray for Brother Flores again. Father, we just pray you would touch Brother Flores this morning. God, touch Sister Flores. All their family, Lord, and we just pray that your will be done. And God, we just ask you to minister and touch today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you for being here today again. Next Sunday, we'll be live streaming, so be here and bring everybody you can. And you'll be able to watch the services again on the website. Also, I have a need for somebody. If somebody has an extra bed, we need a bed, and somebody in the church does. And if you have an extra one, it would be a great blessing. Someone needs it. If you let me know, we'll get it to them. But you pray about it. Somebody might have one sitting there nobody's using that you want to get rid of. Amen. So just let you know about that. Amen. God bless you. We love you.